Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Glad you could make it to Sunday school, Sunday app, Bible study, whatever you want to call it. We're just here to study the Word, worship the Lord, make fun of each other. That's what we do. We're Baptists. We finished our last series last week on Bible application. Today we're just going to review another series I taught about 3 or 4 years ago. It's a short one, but it's important for all believers to understand. It's imperative that we hear the Holy Ghost, and that's the name of the series, is hearing the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of confusion about that, and a lot of people who just won't talk about it, but we're going to look at just an introduction this morning. And our first opening verse is Luke 8:18. It says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." So we have to take heed how we hear. It's important. Now, we hear a lot of things in this world. Sometimes we tune out things. If it's a high female voice, men are probably going to tune it out. That's why we don't like female broadcasters on the sports, because we can't hear what they're saying. I don't know what she just said. I need a guy telling me, because it's sports and I've tuned out the females. So just the way I'm built. No, I don't mean anything by it. I just say I can't, I just like to hear Howard Cosell or something. I grew up with that. I just got to hear that to understand what's going on. So Luke 8 was our opening verse. It tells us how to hear. So many have heard many references to the Holy Ghost. I'm sure you've heard the term Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And some have been taught some lessons about the Holy Ghost, and few have ever discussed hearing the Holy Ghost. When I first put this lesson together, I couldn't remember one time that someone ever taught on hearing or listening to the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. I haven't. I've heard a lot of lessons about the Holy Spirit. I've learned what we're going to talk about and review today of who He is and such, but I never heard anybody tell me, how do I listen to God? And isn't that important for a child of God to hear the Father of God? I mean, how can you hear your Father if you're not listening? Amen. And it's so imperative that all children hear the Father. And you never hear people talk about it. So that's another reason why we want to go through that this morning and next few weeks. It's only about 6 lessons long. And so it's imperative that all Christians hear the Holy Ghost. But sadly, we live in a day that few ever hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. Acts 2:38-39 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The Holy Ghost is a gift to all believers from God. It's just part of our salvation and sealing until our day of redemption and meeting Christ face to face, that sometimes remains unopened. Most of us in our Christian walk in life never tap into the resource God gave us, which is through God Himself as the Holy Spirit living within us. Christians become ineffective. They can become exhausted. And they can become complacent in the work of the Lord, mainly because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. If you don't have any direction from your parents as a child, maybe you want to do right. Maybe you want to do the right thing. But your parents never talk to you, or they never tell you how you need to do right. You're going to lose that desire to do right. You're just going to start doing whatever you want to do. And even though you want to do right, you're not hearing anything from your parents. Well, God's speaking to us all the time, I believe. And if we're not listening, it's the same thing. Whether you want to do right or not, and whether you want to live right for God or not, you're going to start doing your own thing if you're not hearing from God what it is you need to do or how you need to change things in your life. And that's why it's so important that when we have a church service, whether it's Sunday that school hour or the worship service or whatever we're doing, that we tune our antennas unto God and listen, because He wants to tell us something through His Word, through the worship, through the music. He's talking to us and He's telling us something. And if we're not listening, we'll be just like all the other ones out there where they decided, well, since we're not hearing from God, let's just go ahead and take out the music and the message and the Word, and let's just have a performance and do a play and entertain while you're here, so at least you'll feel good about being entertained when you leave. But they have no concept of what God talked to them that day at all, because they never heard Him. And they just get complacent and they're not listening anymore. So why is this happening? What is causing what I call deaf Christians? And what can be done about it? Well, this series is going to help answer some of those questions, hopefully, for each believer in learning how to hear the Holy Ghost. So our introduction today is going to start off with just talking about information about the Holy Spirit. And number one, some are just uninformed about the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, we see in verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." They had no clue. No one taught them. No one told them what to expect. They believed in Jesus Christ. But of course, when this was written, this was that time when Jesus was alive on the earth, and people saw Jesus, and then they believed in Jesus. And when Jesus left, of course, the Comforter came into the earth and dwelt in all believers. But you had that transition period of people who were in the presence of God, Lord Jesus, when He was here on the earth. And to the point where now they have to receive the Holy Spirit in place of the Jesus. Now, we know from that point, when people believed in Jesus Christ, they immediately had the Holy Spirit and dwelled in them, and didn't need to look for it. But the verses are simple and mean the same thing today, that there are some that are just uninformed about the Holy Spirit. Someone got saved. They knew that they were a sinner. They knew that they had to be born again in the kingdom of heaven. They knew that they had to trust Christ as their Savior. They accepted Christ as their Savior. They went home, and if no one ever disciples that person, they'll never understand or even hear that the Holy Spirit lives within them, right, even though He does. They won't know it. No one told them. They're uninformed. And that's why we have to teach people the Word of God and disciple them. So some are just uninformed. There's also some that are misinformed about the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of that today as well. 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You know, the misinformed is just as bad as someone who's uninformed, because they may think they understand, but they have no clue. And they've been taught wrong. They've been taught the wrong thing. So yes, you can be saved and you can have the Holy Spirit within you, but if no one tells you about the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He does, you're not going to know. If you're taught wrong, you're going to believe wrong. And there's a lot of people teaching the wrong thing about the Spirit of God because they don't understand themselves. They've made up some stuff and they accepted it as doctrine, and there's no proof in the Bible anything of what they believe. But there's some that are just misinformed. And then there's a third category, I said, those that are just indifferent about the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." You know, people just don't care. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's really important that we really understand that. I know some people just put a lot of emphasis on the Spirit, God, and then some, you know, never heard about it. You know, let's just not worry about it. Let's not bicker about those little minute things, in our life. Well, it's not minute and it's not little. And there's a reason, that the Holy Spirit's there, and there's a reason why we need to listen. And not much attention is given to knowing the Holy Ghost and his ministry. And so indifference is born through ignorance. There are three reaction groups, just briefly we'll mention, when it comes to learning about the Holy Ghost that we need to know about. Number one, there's extremists. Those are the groups that just put all their emphasis on the Holy Spirit only. You seldom hear anything about God the Father and God the Son because they're more focused on God the Spirit and how they can have that power through the Spirit of God to raise people from the dead, to blow people with their voices or blow on them and they receive something. All they're doing is spend their whole life trying to figure out how they can receive something they already have. Not for God's glory, but for theirs. Because they want to be somebody. They can't speak in tongues. They can't do all these things that the Bible talks about because they don't have the Spirit of God. So how do I get it? I gotta get this. And they put all this emphasis on that and they forgot the whole ministry of what the Holy Ghost is all about. And so there's extremists. There's this, what I call escapists. And those are people who don't want to even mention the Holy Spirit because they think that if they mention it, they might be labeled one of these other guys on the other side of the list. You know, I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be listed in their category. So let's just not talk about it at all. And there's a lot of that as well, especially in the Baptist realm, because, the people there, maybe the pastor, those Sunday school teacher stuff, they don't really want to talk about or teach the Spirit of God because it might label them, extremist. And they're, and we're putting too much emphasis on the Spirit. But it's we're talking about God. We have to know the Trinity. We need to know about the Father. We know about the Son. We know about the Holy Spirit as well. And then there's their exaltationists, I call. It's not really a real word, but it worked. And that's the people who just rejoice at knowing that they have the Spirit of God and are ready to know more about the Spirit of God and will exalt Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. And that's what we need to do. So let's talk about who is a Holy Ghost. Number one, the Bible teaches us he is God. It's not just a spirit, not just some kind of influence in this world, not the force be with you. It's God. The Holy Spirit is God, just like the Son is God and the Father is God. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We also know that he is real. He exists. It's a real Trinity of God. The Spirit of God is real. It's not fake. It's not something in our imagination. It's not just something we have to act like we believe in. 1 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." There's many, many verses in the Scripture that talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those verses show that there are three in one. They're all God, and they are all real in their presence. We also need to realize that the Holy Spirit is not only God and real, but he's also a person. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father." There's Father, Lord Jesus. And then we're talking about Jesus himself speaking. "And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Of course, we know that other comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so there's the Trinity again. He's praying, Jesus himself, the Son of God, is praying to the Father, our God, and also speaking of the Holy Spirit and God. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. He's real and he is God. So not only do we need to know who the Holy Spirit is, but we also need to understand what he does. Why do we want to listen? Why is it important for us to understand and listen? We got to understand why we have the Holy Spirit living within us at salvation and why it's important. So first of all, what does he do? Number one, he's the conviction when someone needs to change or repent. He's the convicting spirit. John 16:7-8 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," again, that's the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, when you talk to somebody and say, you know, you start telling them what the Bible calls witnessing in somebody and tell them, you know, about Jesus Christ and that their condition as a person in this world is that they're cut off from God, that they will never have the righteousness of God, they'll never be accepted in God's eyes because of just being born in this world. We're all the same. We have that blackness of sin on our heart and life, and it cannot be undone. And we explain that to them, and we tell them the verses in the scriptures that tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we tell them that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that if they will, whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and if they'll just trust Christ, they can be saved and be righteous in the sight of the Father. When telling them those things, the Holy Spirit is convicting that person of their sin. And I've talked to people, I've talked to the guys this Saturday a little bit about this. I said, when you're talking to somebody, witness somebody, and they start bringing up things like, well, I'm not sure, I believe the Bible is the Word of God and blah, blah, blah. Most of that, it's just a smoke screen because they don't want you to talk to them. That's right. But I guarantee if you'll still give them the verses, the Spirit of God is still going to convict them of their sin, whether they believe the Bible or not. Amen. The Holy Spirit is still going to convict them and tell them, you are a sinner cut off from God, and you're bound for hell if you don't trust Christ as your Savior. That's His job. He convicts people of sin, of righteousness through Jesus Christ, and of the judgment to come. He does that. We don't see Him. We don't hear Him doing that, but He's doing that. It's God. He's God. Remember, Holy Spirit is God. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. And He's convicting, the Holy Spirit is convicting the sinner of his ways. But also another job of the Holy Spirit is regeneration. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. How can righteousness make us right with God? Our works. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you accepted Christ as your Savior and you asked Him to save you and you're born again, guess who gave you that birth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit birthed you into the family of God. He regenerated your wicked, sinful soul through the blood of Jesus Christ and made you righteous. The Holy Spirit is not only convicting, but He's regenerating people. Another thing He does is seal you. Praise God for that. Ephesians 1:13-14, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, the Holy Spirit, it tells you right here, you don't have to somehow find the Holy Spirit after you're saved. It says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. The Holy Spirit seals you, marking you, basically is what that's saying, a child of God because you believed in Jesus Christ and His blood covers you. You are now sealed or marked a child of God, and no one, even Satan, cannot remove that seal. You're sealed. So why do some people believe that you can lose your salvation? They've been taught wrong because the Holy Spirit is not going to remove that seal until your day of redemption, until you receive that inheritance, that purchased possession that Jesus purchased by Himself on the cross. You cannot lose that seal. You got the seal when you were saved. That's what this scripture is telling us. Now, after you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that seal is not coming off until you meet Jesus Christ. Amen. We're saved. It's eternal security. And the Holy Spirit does that work for us. Praise God for that. What does He do? He convicts, He regenerates, He seals. But that's not it. He also gives us fruit for the glory of God. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we're looking at just a little bit of this in a minute, but that's why it's important for us to be controlled or filled with the Spirit of God, to walk in the Spirit that is within us at salvation, that we have, that's still in us until we meet Jesus Christ. If we walk in that Spirit, we'll bear the fruits of the Spirit. How can I be loving to some people? How can I keep my joy? How can I have that peace when everything's crashing down around me? How can I be long-suffering to people that done me wrong? How can I be gentle when I really want to smash them in the face? How can I be good? How can I have faith, meekness, temperance? How can I do that? If I'm walking in the flesh, I can't, because I'm going to do the opposite. My flesh wants to do the opposite. My flesh doesn't want to be long-suffering to people. My flesh doesn't want to be good to people. My flesh doesn't want to have peace and joy and love. And my flesh is selfish. My flesh just wants to do whatever I want to do to make me happy, forget everybody else. But the fruit of the Spirit is complete opposite. And when you're walking in the Spirit, now you can love people that are unlovable. You can have peace with people that just want to create problems in your life. You can be long-suffering to things and people that just want to are just a mess. And you can bring that joy back in your life. And even though you say, well, how can you have so much peace and joy with God when things are just so terrible in your life? Because the Holy Spirit gives me that fruit. It's His job. That's what He does. He also has power that we need to tap into. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. How can we do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ without power? If Jesus Christ told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations about me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how can we teach all nations? How can we go out and tell people about Jesus? How can we have missionaries go out to all over the world and start churches and reach people if we'd have no power to do so? And if God never gave us that power, we'd be in a mess. Because here's His commandment to do something, and we can't fulfill His commandment, and yet Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. Well, how can we follow your commandments, Lord? We don't have the ability to do this. He gave us that ability and the commandment to go do it. So now we can go do it, and we should go do it. And whether we do or not depends on whether the Holy Spirit is enacting that power upon us or not. We can. You can witness to people. You can reach people. You can teach people. You can do God's work in your life because the Holy Spirit has given you the power to do so. Whether you tap into that power and decide to do that is your decision, but it's there. That's His job. He's to give us that power that we need. But also, we've talked about this in previous lessons about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but He gives us gifts in Romans 12:5 and part of 6 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And He goes on talking about that. But He's mentioning here that we are in the body of Christ, and we're all each members of that body, and we all have different gifts. And we, without going through all those gifts again, we talked about that before, that we all have been given to us some gifts or some special abilities from God, the Holy Spirit, to do certain things for His kingdom, for His glory, through His local church. That's why we have them. That's why we talk about some have the gift of evangelism, some have gift of ministration, some have gift of mercy, some have a gift of giving. We talked about that. Some have gift of teaching, of pastoring. Those are gifts that God has given us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. God Himself gave us particular abilities outside the normal realm that we've been commanded to do, that we could be perfecting the ministry of the saints and giving God the glory and the praise. So the Holy Spirit is there not only to convict and to regenerate, to seal us, grant us those fruits that we need to walk in and to have power to do so and have varying gifts that we can use for God's glory. But the Holy Spirit also is to lead the believer. In Romans 8:14, for as much as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have to be led. Now, let's go. Yes, go ahead. What? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Every one member one of another. That's something that I don't think we all understand very well.
Yeah, every one members one of another in the body of Christ.
Yeah, that means you and I are part of each other.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, that's right. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we're all part of one another, just like Jesus is part of us. And it can be, yeah. You can see it that way. But the important thing is that we're all just in one body of Christ, and God has given us different gifts for each member. And he goes through later, talks about how those members, you know, have different functions in the church. But you're right, we're all part of each other because we're all part of the body of Christ. When we're led by the believer, led by the Spirit, and a believer's led by the Spirit, we have to realize and recognize that if Jesus never left this earth, if Jesus was with his disciples and decided at that time to keep his kingdom on this earth, and of course Jesus is God, he's not going to die, and Jesus was in the earth right now, and you were born and you became a believer in Jesus Christ, who would you follow? Hopefully you would follow Jesus. He's the Lord. He's in charge. He's in control. And we should follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, that's where we want to go. That's what we want to do. He's our Savior. Don't you want to follow Jesus? But Jesus isn't in the world. So how can we follow Jesus? Follow the Spirit. He's leading you to Jesus. The Spirit of God has replaced Jesus in this physical earth so that God can still live in each believer and be in this earth, even though Jesus is not in this earth. When Jesus comes back to this earth, the Holy Spirit will not be in this earth, just like it was before when Jesus was on the earth. We'll follow Jesus. But right now, we can follow the Spirit. And we got to be led. It says here, as many are led by the Spirit of God. And then it talks about in Galatians 5:25, walking with the believer. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, that kind of goes back to what we're talking about with the fruits. How can you bear fruits of the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit? That means he's controlling you. He's in charge. He's guiding your steps. We're following the Spirit of God and we're walking in the Spirit. The Bible also talks about being filled by the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why is that reference there? Because if you ever saw somebody who was drunk with wine, you realize that the wine, the alcohol, is controlling that person. Controlling their decisions, controlling their walk, as much as it is going to mess everything up. Controlling their speech, what, they can't talk right? It controls everything about that person. That's why the Bible warns us against alcohol. Because if you're involved in alcohol, you're not involved in the Spirit. You cannot have both. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God and be led by the alcohol. They're conflicting. The alcohol wants to control your flesh. The Spirit wants to control you spiritually. And so it says to be filled, just like you would drink a lot of alcohol. If you had a lot of Spirit within you, you would be controlled by that Spirit. You're filled by him. He's controlling you. He's directing you. You're walking in the Spirit. But also we know another job of the Holy Spirit is to teach the believer. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. There's the definition, just in case you missed it earlier in the other verses. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you. It's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit's there to help teach us. We're not as smart as we think we are. Or maybe you don't think you're very smart, but maybe some do. But we're ignorant when it comes to the Scriptures. We could never understand the scriptures if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit teaching us. And so if you ever run across something, you start reading the scriptures, I'm not even sure what that says. Well, maybe two things wrong. Either the Spirit of God is not in you, or you need to rely on the Spirit to teach you what that says. And that's what it says here, that He's going to teach you all things. Now, are you going to know all things right as soon as you ask? Oh, I understand the whole Bible now. No, that ain't going to happen. Because you're just like a child of God. The children back there in the Sunday school are not going to know everything about life. Never in their life. But even if they knew about some things that you know now, how long is it going to take them to understand that? They're not going to know by tomorrow. No matter how much you try to cram that knowledge in their head, they're not going to get it until they start maturing and start growing. And then they'll start seeing what it is, what it's like to be a parent and what it means to obey. And all of a sudden, it starts to make sense later after they're teenagers, hopefully. And sometime after that, we have no hope for him over here. But the rest of them, most people, are going to figure it out later. Well, that's how we are as children of God, too. The Holy Spirit's teaching us, but He's teaching us at our level of spiritual growth. And if you're still a babe in Christ, He's going to teach you the basics. And then if you've been growing in God and you're learning and you're reading His Word and you're trying to learn more about Jesus, He's going to teach you more stuff that you never really knew was in there. And He's going to start revealing stuff to you that you can grow in and mature in as a really strong believer in Jesus Christ. You're going to really start to get it after a while. And it's wonderful. But the Holy Spirit's there to teach us. It's another job He has. And then lastly, I wrote He's to anoint the believer. In 1 John 2:27 it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." You know, in the Old Testament, we have to look back to figure out what that anointing really is, because since we don't use that today as a term that we use today, we have to figure out what does anointing mean. Well, in the Old Testament, when a priest was entering into the priesthood, they would drench him with this special oil. It was an olive oil that was prepared and purified in a special way that God said it had to be done. And it was only to be used to anoint that priest for the priesthood. And they would just pour buckets. They call it hens. And they would pour buckets upon him, and he was just drenched. Sometimes just would drench the head. It just depends on what the ceremony was. But they were covered in this oil that was proclaiming to the people that they now are the priest in the priesthood, and they have the power to carry out the commands of the Lord. And so the anointing that the Holy Spirit brings upon our life is granting us also that authority and ability to carry out what we would call the priesthood, following Jesus Christ and teaching people about the Lord, showing them that they can have their sins forgiven, teaching them the Word of God, being that person to them, that spiritual leader they need in their life to let them know that there is a God that loves them and cares for them and will save them. We have been anointed. We have been granted that power and authority to do God's commandments through the Holy Spirit of God. That's what He does. He shows forth our authority by Jesus. You know, they mentioned that in closing to Jesus. They asked Him, "By what authority do you come in here and teach us these things? Who are you? Who gave you that authority?" Well, Jesus had the perfect answer. Look it up for yourself. But He had the authority. And sometimes you may be asked, "Hey, what gives you the right to come in here and tell me I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell?" And, you know, we had authority through God Himself as the Holy Spirit. He anointed us. He gave us that ability and authority to go out there and bring the kingdom of God into people who don't deserve it, like us, that they may be saved. Churches cannot experience the fire of God's word God's divine presence in the services, and God's direction without hearing the Holy Ghost. It is a priority. That's just introduction to who the Holy Spirit is. Next week, we're going to start talking about how we can hear. Don't you want to hear what God has to say today? Amen. I hope you're hearing, and we're going to talk about how to do that next week. Father, thank you for our time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless us now and be in the midst of all that we do, that you may be glorified, honored, and praised. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.